Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, he's called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Now I do. Now the girls will turn the color of an avocado when he drive down the street in his El Dorado. Why, he was only 5'3". Girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. At New York. Girls get called an asshole. This did not happen to Pablo Picasso. Why? He could walk down the street. Girls could not resist his stare. Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not right here. Not like you.
Chicago, Shell. It's the world's best-selling gasoline.
It's clobbering time.
Yeah, that it is. It's Clobbering Time, issue number, I forgot, as usual, 430,450 billion or something. That'd be silly, because there couldn't be 450 billion of anything, could there? Not podcast. Not by whatever. All right. Well, we're here. Made it here this time. Welcome, everyone, to Clobbering Time on Blog Talk Radio's Grenache Network, the geekiest-smelling network in the world. And, of course, here on the Grenache Network on Blog Talk Radio, let me just set the record straight for a second. It's not all about the clobbering, although I try to bring you as much clobbering as I can. Sometimes it's only once a week lately, and I'm working late, a lot of hours. Try to do it twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, but I'll get one of them in there, usually, if I can't get them both. And it's always, of course, 9 p.m. Eastern. And damn it, only when you go on does your throat start messing with you there. All right, and of course, Mondays and Friday nights, please join us for the great Possum Hour with Decker and Wendy and Gumby and the gang. That is, of course, 10 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, it's Daddy G and the gang and Benji and the gang on Dirty Sons of Pitches. Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern as also. Yeah, so I want to welcome all of our good friends who have popped in tonight. Thursday nights seem to be busier for people than Tuesday nights, I have found. It's, you know, they usually always do a little bit better on a Thursday, usually, not always. Or, excuse me, on a Tuesday than Thursday, but whatever. Nevertheless, some fantastic friends are here, and a great buddy is here joining me tonight. Our good buddy, Russ Squatch Gould, is here. Russ, always great to see you, pal. The lovely and fabulous Brenda Jo. Brenda, thank you for being here. Of course, my partner in crime last week and a fine sporting gentleman, and always a pleasure to have him on the show. Flashback, buddy, I absolutely had a blast hanging out and talking with you last week, my friend. You are always a gentleman and a scholar, and always just so, you know, so much of a pleasure to do the show with. Always have a great time, pal. And we just need to schedule more shows together. That's all there is to it. If it takes ruining a character I love in a movie, then, you know, to get you, and then, of course, the gentleman who's going to be on with me tonight, your illustrious son, then, you know, let them ruin characters just to get you guys to come on. But we'll find other reasons to do it, too. But, man, I tell you what, had a fabulous time last week, and it did very well, by the way. I mean, just amazing, you know, archive hits. And I know it wasn't because it was to do with that silly movie. It was because you, Flashback, were on the show with me. There's no question about it. And tonight, a gentleman who did join us for a little while last week, of course, and a good friend, again, another longtime Blog Talk Radio colleague and buddy who does his own shows. He actually did a regular one for a good while, and occasionally will pop up with one. There's, for example, one he has just done. Matthew. You there, brother? I think I hit the button right, man. Let's see what you got. Am I even being heard? Where are we? Well, I'm not hearing Matthew. Matthew, you there, bro? Are you guys hearing me, Russ and Flash? Let's see here. Try something else. Matthew, you there, buddy? It may have dumped out of the Skype, pal. See if you can get back in. Oh, well. I know it'll pop in. Well, what the hell's wrong with this thing? There's always something glitching in this sucker. Let me see if I can fix this thing. Matt, you there? Okay, you hear me at least. Well, Matt, I don't know if you're hearing me, but I see you're up there, and I'm hitting the microphone, sir, but I can't hear you. So if you are talking, I'm not hearing you, pal. Maybe if we can try to, you know, rehook back into the show or something, if you could try to call it back or whatever. Won't start without you. Much, anyway. God damn it. Sorry, there you go. There you go, Russ. No. Excuse me. I feel like anyone ever remember the old Larry Sanders show? Rip Torn's character? God damn it, Hank. Cursing out the damn thing. Everyone, let's see. Here we go. All right, now, maybe you could call back in there, brother. I don't know. It could be BTR glitching on me. That would not be an unusual occurrence here. So, I don't know. Oh, boy, am I tired. I tell you what, it has been 2 weeks since Man of Filth has soiled screens, worldwide. I know it's domestic. I guess it's worldwide as well. And I haven't been keeping up too much with the box office. I had a real big opening week. I'm not sure what the deal is right now as far as that goes. But let's see if this works here. Okay, got some tech problems. Gotcha. But, you know, I've held off on writing my review, a lot of it because it was time. I mean, so much. I am working on it. And a lot of it was because I don't have a lot of time. The movie opened on a crazy weekend with a lot of family stuff going on. And then when working so many hours, it's hard to get to work on it. And I want, you know, we talk about it. We've done three shows on it. About to do our fourth show on the this is our third show on it, sorry. And I'm kind of, even though, you know, because everyone has reviewed the thing to death. Love it, hate it, it's all been out there. I'm going to finish the review and put it up there by tomorrow night. I'm hoping to release by Saturday because it won't really matter that much. Everyone, you know, either hate it or you don't, you have things to say about it. It'll be, obviously, it'll still be a review, but, you know, I needed time to sit back and think about it a lot more. And, of course, the more I think about it, the more angry I get about it. Tonight, you won't notice as much because I'm so mellow right now. I'm just tired, you know, long, long day. So, now let me see here. Matthew?
Yes?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Yo. What's up?
There we go, man.
Can you finally hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, bud.
Yeah.
I was just talking a little bit about the past couple of weeks going on and how I, because of a lot of busyness and other things, I've been working on the review and spots the written review. This is the third time we'll be doing a show about it. I'm sure you're familiar with the movie. I keep forgetting the title of it, but I know, and I'm sure it'll come to you. But I decided, you know, everybody and their mother's reviewing it. As far as writing, you know, reviews online and blogs and stuff, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I figured it was no big hurry for it. I just decided, well, you know, we'll dedicate the show to that, but I'm going to finish my, because quite frankly, it just keeps adding shit to it. I'm like, oh my God, I've written reviews that take me like about 2 hours, and this one's just almost, it'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just not good enough, so. It's, I guess you could say this is, there has probably not been a movie that has made me so, bothered me in so many ways to where I would think about it a lot or would bother me more since 2009. And not even the sequel this year, not even Into Dumbness has done that. Since 2009, I'm sure you don't have to wonder what movie I'm talking about.
No imagination required.
No, you got that one. This one, I guess I don't know if I'm not as angry. For one reason is, you know, because Superman is kind of a visitor to movies and TV.
Yeah.
He's a guest in the house. He's, you know, his art form of birth is comic books.
Yeah.
And there have been so many bad comic books. A bad Superman comic, well, really? You're soaking in it. You know, so, you know, and for me, they haven't really done very good, many good movies and or TV shows and stuff, and They have, you know, so I guess it's not that big a deal. So if I just didn't like the movie, we're going to get into the course specifics. If I didn't like a movie they made, that wouldn't be a big deal. Superman 3 and 4, which I'm sure you think are the greatest movies ever made.
They're amazing.
Aren't they brilliant? But they
they're
are.
Awesome.
I mean, they're funny. I'll give them that. But I could laugh at them, but... You know, I can take a bad movie with or a bad comic book, you know, with any character that I love. But you love Booster Gold. If they did a shitty, crappy Booster Gold movie, you wouldn't be happy about it, but you go, whatever.
No.
It happens, you know. You didn't like Superman Returns, am I right?
No, I did not. I liked the visuals. I thought it had some really cool visual stuff, but other than that, it was,
Yeah. Do you know that when we were seeing that, I guess it was similar to 2013 in the sense that we were getting a lot of info before the thing came out.
Yeah.
As you know. But maybe not like this. But and we saw the costume, and I was like, oh, and I'm talking about Returns. Oh, my God, look at that. Ugh. Man, it wasn't like now. It wasn't like 2012 and 13. But I was like, really? What the hell's wrong with you? And I looked at him, Brandon Roth, I didn't really have that much of a problem with it in the movie. But you know what? I was going in like, oh, my God. And when I walked out the first time, I was like, I don't know. I didn't really hate it. It was just sort of, all right. I mean, it didn't have a story much. And borderline, there were things that he did that Superman wouldn't or shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was just a question of, you know, because we talked about this a lot last week. This is not a question, you know, it's probably wrong to review any movie this way, which is why I was having a problem with it. It's wrong to review a movie without dealing with it artistically in some level, so you do that.
Yeah.
But as you know, Superman is just so important to me. I mean, like Star Trek, and probably even more important than Star Trek, it's tough for me to divorce what I think has been done to the character as opposed to just if there's a crappy movie, who cares? Not that we want to see a bad one. You know, like you enjoyed it, and which is good. You didn't want it. You don't walk in wanting to have a bad time. Even if you think you are, if you go, oh boy, let me. You know, because I don't know about you. I've seen some movies where I was like, oh, boy, I'm going to watch it. But who knows? And then walked out, wow, I really like that. It was pretty good. You know, and it's happened, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but
yeah,
happens to everybody. So this one, and I'm going to give you the floor and just let you kind of go off on it a little bit. Because you know, I know you like, all I know is that you liked it. You know, last week you joined in on the conversation tail end a little bit. But before we do that, you have an interview coming up that I would like you to plug.
No, I don't, actually.
You don't? I thought you did one.
I did. I interviewed him. Yeah, you're, of course, talking about Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead. Yeah, I spoke to him. It was the 23rd, whatever the last Monday was, 23rd, I guess. And, I spoke with him for about 32 minutes or so. And I go to edit the thing. Edit the recording, mm-hmm. And about 6 minutes in, the whole recording is just silent.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, so it's like just dead silence for like 30 or like for like 25 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like,
man, I'm sorry, buddy, that sucks.
Yeah, it was like,
wow.
No way could this happen. And
you did it, like, through Skype, or how did you do the interview?
No, I did it on a phone. I should have done it through Skype. But I did it, on a phone. And, you know, it sounded okay. It sounds fine, you know, up until the cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds great up until the cut. But then once the cut happens, it's so not worth it. Because, you know, it's got him talking briefly about Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And then he talks a little bit about Guardians of the Galaxy, as much as I could get out of him. And then it's done. And it was pretty depressing.
Wow, that's depressing, dude. You could call, you have a phone where, because you know me, I'm not very tech savvy.
Yeah.
You could call someone on the phone and record the conversation type thing. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
Your phone.
Yeah.
With like smartphone or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, and
did not know you could do that.
I mean, you know, it was actually because I'd done the thing where I'm like, I'm interviewing Michael Rooker on this day. I did it on Twitter and on Facebook and other places. And so because of that, it attracted a lot of his fans, you know, a lot of these
right.
big fans of Rooker.
Sure.
I didn't know he had such a huge fan base. I had no clue. But he has an
right.
enormous fan base.
He's a great actor.
He's
amazing.
Awesome. He's amazing. And they all sort of, you know, came to me like, oh, I want to ask him about classic cars. I want to ask him about this. So they got all these questions in, and I asked all the questions that were sent in. And
wow.
After it's over, you know, I felt worse for them than I did for me, because they were looking forward to hearing it. So I felt bad for them instead of me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, I'm so sorry about that, buddy. That bites, man.
But I do have him. I am set to do it again at some point in the future.
Yo, you told him about it?
Yeah, I told.
Told what happened?
His
he was probably
his,
pretty cool about it, huh?
Yeah, but yeah, he's like, yeah, man, that happens. Technology, man.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Well, absolutely. Well, that's cool. He was it? He was at Wizard this past November in New Orleans, and
oh yeah.
A buddy of mine who's a fan of the show of Walking Dead was walking down the street to his car or something, and they were, a Rook Rabbit had walking that same way, and he talked to him the whole time, and everybody, he was just cool to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Just a super nice guy.
Yeah.
So
he's a really nice guy. I mean, I think I always like when an actor is that nice to their fans, and he's super nice to his fans.
Yeah, and it's really, you can see when it's genuine. You know, I've met some of my favorite people, and some of them I've liked another stuff, and there are other ones like, you know, yeah, how you doing? You know, whatever, you exist. I know you exist now, and I wish I didn't know you exist, but that's all right. You move along. And some of them, I mean, there are people that have their ups and downs, but some of them are just amazing. And I found that a lot of the Doctor Who people I've met from the old show have been really great. A lot of the British actors from a lot of shows.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. You know, but back then especially, they worked for a living.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to, you know, they worked, when they weren't doing 13 episodes of Doctor Who, or back then 13 four-parters or whatever,
yeah.
They were on the stage. In other words, they weren't super, super rich.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's not saying they're all, but anyway, some of them weren't, and a lot of the Star Trek people, and you know how I feel about Star Trek, a lot of them, they put up with so much, I guess, you can't blame them so much, but they're kind of like, yeah, move along.
Yeah.
So.
I always hear the horror stories about Shatner, too.
Oh, yeah. Did I ever tell you what Shatner said to me the time I met him?
No.
He said, well, that's what he said. Well, that's what he said. It's the word well, I think.
Yeah.
He mumbled. It was 1986, World of Wheels in New Orleans. You paid $5 to get in, and he was shaking hands with people.
Right.
And so I walked up to him and made some kind of stupid comment. I can't remember what. Well, you can imagine me making just a dumb joke because it's William Shatner. What am I supposed to say?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well," like he smiled and like, "Okay." And I'm like, "Wow."
And that was it.
You talk to me. That was it. Adam West was amazing.
Yeah.
So every time I met him, but you know, what can you do, man? Well, anyway, that sucks, dude. I hate that happened, buddy.
Yeah, it was a bummer having to explain it all to everybody.
I think Flashback sabotaged you, to be honest.
He probably did.
You should look into that.
You know, I left the recording alone for a day, and then I came back, and it was all screwy. So.
You don't think he stole it for his show, do you?
Maybe he did. He's a thief. He replaced it with an interview with Bryan Singer.
Yeah, oh, boy, there you go. See, if that is the case... And we hear that show.
Yeah.
We'll know. And, of course, and he replaced it with an interview with Jar Jar Abrams, then I hope you'd never play. Yeah. So.
it would give you so much more ammunition, though.
Well, no, I mean, I would definitely listen to an interview with Jar Jar Abrams that you did, because I know, as the pal that you are, you would tell him, look, Jar Jar, you filthy piece of crap. Let me ask you this. That's how you would couch your questions that way. They would all be like, so, Mr. Abrams, you bag of sputum garbage. Tell me about, and so on. I know you do that for me. So.
I, you know, maybe in private.
Let's see, again, there was a movie that opened up a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I think it's still playing, right?
It's still kicking ass from what I hear.
It's still destroying buildings, is what you're saying.
True.
It's okay, man of rubber. I'm gonna try. I try to behave, you know, like when I'm writing. If you put, it's you know how BTR is. If you put for the keywords and shit, if you put Man of Steel, you know, you put Man of Steel. A lot of people, they're talking about Man of Steel. And they'll look at it. And I got, by the way, the show I did with Flash last week. Yeah. Man, one of the highest archive ratings I've ever seen, just because we were talking about it. They probably listened for 5 seconds and said, "Man, that Clash guy is really intelligent and cool, but that jerk-off doing the interview, what the hell's wrong with him?" I hope that happened. But, if I resist the temptation to write Man of Rubber or Man of Murder, or whatever. Man of Murder is spoilery, so you shouldn't do that anyway.
Well.
But sometimes I would write that and I go, wait a minute, this is Blog Talk. Do it on Facebook like an a-hole, but don't do it. I change it back, Man of Steel. Not easy for me to call it Man of Steel, by the way.
You know, right? the ultimate sign of something, you know, getting popular on the internet is to type like the first two words of it into Bing or Google and see if Bing or Google will finish it for you. So the ultimate test is to type in man of and see if it'll finish it with rubber.
It might happen with man, but not rubber. It'll be steel, but yeah, you're right. Now, that would be funny.
That's the
man
ultimate
wearing it would be, you know what? It'd be like man wearing a rubber. Oh, never mind.
Oh, wait. I don't want to go here.
No, that's a different – that's Magic Mike 2.
That's a whole different movie.
Yes, yes. But it would be wonderful. Now, this movie is let's see if I remember this. You can correct me. It's a movie about a guy. It's a documentary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
About a guy who's just like Jesus or something, and he gets sent to Earth by God or his father or something to save it from somebody or another. To save it from buildings being demolished to put it up. It's something about buildings being demolished, I'm pretty sure. You go ahead now and tell me what you thought of it, because I'm drawing a blank, so go ahead.
It's about a little kid who's sent from his home planet by the Gladiator to arrive on planet Earth and save people.
Right. Hey, you know what's that? You just hit the irony
what?
You just hit me with right there by accident?
Yeah.
Superman was actually based on a character, partially by Philip Weil from a book called Gladiator. So,
yeah.
Wow. I don't know why I even bothered pointing that out, but go ahead. He was, though. He was.
Well,
and Schuster, when they changed him from a villain to a hero, they kind of based it on a book called Gladiator. But go ahead.
I did not know that, actually.
By Philip Weil from the 20s. Anyway, go ahead.
That,
sorry.
Yeah, so the show needs to be educational as well as...
Geek-educational.
Geek-educational, that's what it needs to be. Kal-El is sent from the planet Krypton by the Gladiator to the planet Earth, where he arrives and becomes Superman. That's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
I mean,
really? I can name you only two instances where he resembled Superman to me, and I don't mean like physically. He saved the guys on the rig, then he saved the kids on the bus. The scene they cut out with him putting the bus back into the water after, going after all the kids after Pa Kent said you maybe should let him die, they cut that out, but it'll be in the extended version. Now, go ahead and tell me, in all seriousness, your overall analysis of Man of, I'm going to say it, Steel. Go ahead. That was hard. Good. Go ahead, buddy. Sorry.
Right. So, Man of Steel, I just thought that Superman, to me, I don't feel like he's ever been completely 100% realized on screen. There's been such there's been Superman movies before, but I never have felt strong enough to say that they are idealized. And that
I agree with that. I'll actually agree with that statement, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I
and still
like
do.
Superman,
and still do after this week. Go ahead.
I would imagine you would. That he's never been fully 100% realized on screen. And coming out of Man of Steel, I said to myself, okay, you've seen it now. You know, you've seen your favorite superhero on screen for the first time. And so coming out of it, I think to myself, I don't need to see any other Superman movie. I've seen the only one there is.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Which,
I would like
except
to see,
for the sequel.
I need you to direct me to whatever movie that you saw, because I'd like to see
it's
that.
It's called Man of Steel. Opened June 14th. Where have you been?
I don't know. I did paid. Now I do have a ticket stub that says I paid to see a movie with that title. I'll give you that.
Well,
but, yeah. let's see. You had a thoroughly wonderful good time then.
Yeah.
And so, I guess we'll go first with what you like most about it, and then after that, if anything, if you had any qualms over here, so proceed, sir.
I love Henry Cavill as Clark Kent. First of all, I thought he captured a lot of the parts of Superman and the parts of Clark Kent that a lot of actors don't capture, and because he's never been written that way, obviously. But there's parts of Superman that Henry is tapping into in this movie that I just don't think has been touched on yet. And there's that feeling of isolation that a guy like Superman would have, I think. His Earth parents are great and all, but there's still, I think there would be a feeling of isolation that a guy like that would have. And I think Henry taps into that. Michael Shannon made me care about Zod again, so that was, I was very thankful to him for that. And I thought Snyder's direction, this is probably Snyder's best directed movie, which is not hard to, which is not hard after Sucker Punch, but this is his best directed
Sucker
film.
Punch. Well, that was
it's really not a, it's not a difficult task to solve Sucker Punch, no.
Yeah, I got dragged to that one. I'm not proud.
Yeah, Sucker Punch. I think Sucker Punch is a cool idea, but I think the movie's just a disaster.
I would probably maybe agree with that if I could know what the hell his idea was beyond being a video game.
It's sort of like the video game. It's like a video game of Inception with girls,
yeah,
basically.
Which, that so, part I have no problem with. The girls were kind of, anyway.
I mean, hey. Had, what's Emily Browning, I think, is the girl's name.
No problem with her at all.
Yeah, she's something else.
She's girls in there. Yeah.
And Jenna Malone is also in that one, who I also love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
She's the redhead.
Yeah. Again, which was probably, I have to really send those girls some chocolates or some flowers or something to keep me from killing myself in that theater, because they were at least, fun to look at.
No, I.
That's horrible.
It's like I said, it's that Snyder. It's got that. It doesn't feel like Snyder. But it also feels like Snyder. It doesn't feel like Snyder, but it also feels like Snyder. In that it has sort of the downbeat, so un-Snyder camera angles, but it also has that Snyder trademark of, let's blow stuff up for 30 minutes or whatever it is. So it has all those Snyder touches, but it's also Snyder sort of toning himself down a little bit, which I think he needed to do for a movie like Superman.
Yeah. That's the one thing, one of the few things that I begrudgingly have always admitted in the first place about, in terms of the format or the way the thing went, in the sense that a superhero story, and I've talked about this a lot, doesn't have to be that complicated.
No.
And it should lead up to a fight, because that's what superhero comics are. Comics anime.
Yeah.
If it does, so that he got right. I'll give him that one. I mean, and he's good at visuals. So.
Oh, it's like I said, Sucker Punch is just a disaster of a movie. But he's one of the great visual directors of today, I think, along with people like Guillermo del Toro. He's one of those visual guys that you're just like, the movie may not be any good, but damn, you'll see something pretty cool when you go to this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean,
visually
he caught so much of Watchmen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that he forgot that Watchmen wasn't supposed to be over-the-top camp and he screwed the story up. Because how I feel about Watchmen is one of my all-time favorite things ever in my comic, and the guy is so good at missing the point a lot of times with Watchmen. It's cool that he took things right out of the comic and put it on the screen. I think that was really nice, and of course Jackie Earle Haley is amazing.
Oh yeah,
And then you have over-the-top Matrix-y-looking fight scenes. You have, it's slick to a point you're like, really? And then he forgets that the whole point of Watchmen was, you know, if people really did, in the real world, did dress up like that and do those things, and if there really was a guy getting godlike powers, how would it affect the real world?
Yeah,
it's not supposed to be. You're not supposed to, you know, other things like Superman shouldn't have that reality like that. But Watchmen does, and he forgot that. And it's funny you mentioned that. You made me think of something. First of all the stuff you said about this is what would really happen is not disputable at all. To me, it just doesn't belong in a Superman story. It's fine to do it with a Superman archetype, especially in a movie theater. But if that's what you want to see, I would say that even though I don't think he had any kind of a story or anything, I'd say he delivered on that, and that's what you wanted to see. And I would, you know, so that it's hard to have a problem with that when I much hate the movie because I just don't like that approach. But what's funny is just you and I talking about that, you're right. He did approach the subject matter, putting it into reality. You know, he said it, Nolan said it, Henry Cavill said it in an interview. It's just, to me, it's the just absolutely most horrible thing you could do to Superman. But it's funny how he did that, but in Watchmen, he fucking totally forgot to do that. He was completely not out of reality when that's what it was supposed to be. It's back asswards. You know, and I never really thought of that, but you know what I'm saying?
That's true, though. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, Watchmen has that, you know, what is it often called? The deconstruction of the superhero, right? So
yes.
It is always about that. With Watchmen, it's always about, what if superheroes were real? Right? What, like, what if we take the world we live in and superheroes are real? You know, this superhero is real. They're real. They're really existing.
Right.
And that's what Watchmen was about.
Their clothes would wrinkle. Yeah. Yes, their clothes would wrinkle.
Yeah.
They would look weird walking around like that.
Yeah. So Watchmen was about, you know, real superheroes. It was about what are, you know, what would it be like? And, so he doesn't do it in Watchmen. He doesn't take that route. So he does Man of Steel, where he takes the route that he did not take with Watchmen. So I didn't think about that either.
Was it Nolan? Was it me either? Man, really? Was it Nolan's influence?
Because
you know,
you
talked about how some of it didn't seem Snydery. I thought some of the Smallville scenes looked like that Snyder went out on a coffee break and Nolan visited the set and said, "All right, let me do this." Only in the sense
we're over.
The two distinctive directorial styles. Nolan is water.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me. Snyder is water, and Nolan's molasses. He's a minimalist. He's turgid with the way he purposely likes to ugly up the screen. Sometimes it's just he likes to be visual sometimes too. But you know he, and of course that works fine for Batman if you don't go overboard. And it just felt like some of the tone. I don't know. I mean, you probably know more than me in terms of if it's been discussed. But did he try to be more like Nolan, or did Nolan try to influence things? I don't know.
I mean, it seems like, you know, with Batman, he had... I mean, the third one is really not Sway, but with Batman, he tried to take that real-world approach. Now, when I say real-world, I don't necessarily mean that it's... And I don't think he does either, that it's quote-unquote realistic.
No.
I mean, I think he says that, but I don't think that's actually what he means. I think when Nolan says it's realistic Batman, I don't think he means it's, well, this is what Batman would be like in the real world. I think it's more of, it's not that it's realistic, it's just convincing. And that's, I think, what you have to do with a lot of these comic book movies, to make them convincing. They're not realistic, they're just convincing. So with Man of Steel, with the Nolan influence, I don't know how much of an influence Nolan was, because it seems, from what everybody says, that he really wasn't one. That he approved, like, story stuff, and he approved this and that, and I think we talked last week about how he had approved the thing at the end after it was sold to him by Goyer and Snyder. So I don't know if there was an exact influence from Nolan as much as there was in Batman.
Yeah. Well, what you just said was interesting about the reality thing. What you said about not necessarily being realistic. I mean, what does that term mean other than just similar to reality or realistic?
Yeah.
Not does it mean actual reality.
Yeah.
And so even though you're right, I don't think they know what you just said, because they continually say reality, 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 and maybe they're just not good speakers.
I just don't think they're wording it correct.
It could be, but, you know, I think they are trying to be very realistic in the sense that, obviously, they're not saying that there was really a planet to send a guy who could do all that shit. They're not saying, all right, they're not so stupid that they're going, well, you know, it's realistic that a guy can fly. And you know, they're not saying that. But what they're saying is, and they are, in a way, trying to go, all right, what would it happen? Because everything, the whole approach from Goyer was, what would the guy be like if he had, if he was, you know, rocketed to Earth as a baby, or and with those powers? In other words, they're asking the question, like you just mentioned, how he probably would have these issues of loneliness and all this kind of crap. They think they're being really realistic. They don't, I mean, they're not, I know they're not saying, oh, God could fly in real life. They're not saying that. Realistic means it's like reality.
Yeah.
Or they're taking a real approach. But I think you're nailing it, at least in describing it better than they ever have in the interviews, because all they ever say is reality.
Yeah, and I don't think it's reality. I think that's the wrong word to use. I think Nolan used that a lot when he was running Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises even. But I don't think that's the correct word, because it's not really accurate. These movies aren't realistic. I mean, Batman Begins is probably the most sort of grounded one of the three, but it's still not realistic. I mean, there's nothing really realistic about it. It's not realistic, it's just believable. You just believe it. It's not that it's real, it's just I believe it, which is a whole different thing than realistic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just worded incorrectly, I think, in a lot of ways.
And some people need that with superheroes for some reason I'll never understand.
Yeah.
I don't need anything realistic in some cases. With Watchmen, I did, and he didn't know. He just says he was clueless. He was like,
yeah.
It was just like he said he tried to make it like the Avengers or something, except darker. And it was just like in the Avengers or the Marvel movies or whatever, they're, even though they have dark spots, as you know, they don't play by a lot of rules. Well, I know you didn't like Avengers, but forget that for a second. You know, Whedon was saying, look, this is the Hulk, okay?
Yeah.
He's jumping all over the place. It's Thor, for Christ's sake. He's not realistic. He's
mm-hmm.
And, you know, he adds some dark stuff to it, but he has them, look, they're smashing the city up. It's not realistic, and there's nothing realistic about it,
no.
Avengers or the Marvel ones, whereas I don't know if I ever saw an interview where he said, well, I want people to be able to believe that this might really happen, or if it did, if there really were an Avengers or an Iron Man, this is what it would be like.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever heard that much. You're right, with Man of Steel, they're saying that. With Watchmen, which was supposed to be that, he's like, oh, man, let's just have him fly. Remember, was it the scene Rorschach falls off the building, which was from the comic. He fell five stories.
Yeah.
In the comic, he busted his legs up and got the shit beat out of him.
Yep.
In this, he gets up and goes Bruce Lee on 20 cops. I mean, he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He stands up and he's chop-socking all these cops. I'm like, really? Did you read the comic? You looked at the pictures, right? You didn't read the words.
Yes.
I don't remember Rorschach doing that. And you go, you're being a fanboy. Well, yeah, but there's a kind of point to Watchmen that he totally missed. Not just in getting the story wrong, the whole theme, the whole tone was had a certain meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, Flash pretty much said it best last week when he was saying, or he and I both kind of just came to the conclusion that it's all about what interpretation you will either accept or want to see in the end. Whether you like the movie or not, it's almost beside the point in that sense. You could totally not like it and still think, yeah, I don't care what they did to the character, I just didn't like it for whatever reason. And then you could really like a lot of it and go, yeah, but he never really acted the way I wanted him to act. And it could work a lot of different ways. So I understand what you both are saying. You wanted to see Superman done this way.
Yeah.
But to me, Superman's nowhere in nothing to do with the film.
Well, I mean, I said to myself, even as it was going on, I said to myself, you know, I like this take. You know, I was saying to myself, I like this idea of, you know, what if Superman was real? Because I always like to think Superman is real anyway, just in my inner sort of small child. I always like to think Superman is real anyway. So with me, it's like, I love to see that. What was it like if Superman is real? But even so, I'm saying to myself, and even so, I would like to see a more fantasy-based Superman later. That would be cool, too. I'm cool with whatever you guys... I mean, obviously, I don't want drastic stuff. You know, obviously, I'm not going to settle for, you know, something crazy. Something super out of control, like, you know...
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you take something completely out of control, then I'm like, eh. But oh, you know.
Right, which is what
otherwise,
this was
I'm
to
like,
me, but not to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was like, you know, cool. Seems cool to me. But, you know, again, if later, if there's a decision to do a more fantasy-based Superman, which is more
right.
closer to that,
I doubt it'll happen now.
Fine.
I'm going to doubt
no,
that
probably
will
not.
Happen. No.
No.
I think the genie's out of the bottle. Well, like I said, I appreciate that view on it. But I think I've said this. I don't know if I said it last week or not, but in comics, I have no problem with them doing that. Now, I prefer it. Of course, we know that New 52 is just it's reprehensible in every way. They're not responsible with DC anymore. They were not. But there was a time when if you wanted to mess around with Superman in that fashion,
mm-hmm.
They do, like, remember they used to call them Elseworld books and things
yep.
like that? And sometimes they would just say, let's just make an archetype. A guy who likes, remember, like, the Authority?
Yeah.
Or different characters, and we'll take superhero archetypes. Because we have to be honest, Superman and others are archetypes, and just as much as they are just characters. And we'll do some crazy stuff. And some of them are really interesting. And like I say, so the validity of doing that, for me, never is a problem in a comic book. That's their native art form. My problem is, in a general audience's movie, I think he should act like the character has been established. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you can't have a dark story. I think Martin Pascoe talked about it pretty well when he said, the problem is, you know, it's fine if you do whatever dark story you want, but how about having Superman keep the same standards? Let him be the Boy Scout he's supposed to be and intended to be. Let him act the way let him be so heroic. Let him do all these things instead of just a guy in a fight, you know, let it be about good versus evil, not lesser of evils, which this movie was. And let him shine, and you could even do the darker thing you want, although in movies, why don't you kind of, if you're going to have Superman, why don't you make it kind of kid-friendly? That's another thing that really bothers me. So if you don't have a problem with them doing it in a movie, there's really no argument. No one could tell you that you should. I can't tell you that you should. I just, to me, he was defiled and debased in public. It wasn't just some shitty comic. Let's say there was a comic that just came out last week, and Superman's doing something horrible, and you're like, man, look at this shit. Why would you do this to Superman? It's stupid. You go, we talk about it for 5 minutes, and this is garbage. It wouldn't mean anything that much. You'd be like, this is another shitty comic. But this is a movie, and as you know, it's big.
Yeah.
It's so much more massive than as much, you know, we both like comics, but it's so much more massive than one or 100 Superman comics.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one shot, you get it a couple years later, it's touted for over a year, you know stuff coming out about it, you know who's doing it. It's so much information, you're inundated. You can avoid some of it for spoiler reasons, but it's so big. To me, it's an event in the career of Superman. There have been, what now, how many attempts to do them on the screen, small and big, compared to comics, it's infinitesimal.
Numerous.
Infinitesimal, even. Yeah, so compared to comics, it's not even close, as you know.
Yeah.
So I just think if you aim them at the general audiences, why don't you just, and obviously this is old-fashioned and outmoded, why don't you keep the values that are meant for him and try to make it kind of a movie that you can bring kids to instead of the kind of carnage that you're going to give us.
Well, see, I don't even know if I agree with the notion that superhero movies are for kids, because all the time you hear about,
I didn't say for kids, not for.
Well,
kids
even so, forever. Why make it kid friendly if kids are going to be bored? Because kids are always bored in these movies.
Are
I mean,
they?
Kids are bored in movies like, you know, Spider-Man. Kids are bored in movies like The Avengers. Kids are bored in a lot of these movies. All the kids I hear about, they're like bored. They're like, you know, it takes them 30 minutes to watch The Avengers, and Avengers is 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that.
I don't know.
Takes them, you know, 30 minutes
all
to watch
the
Avengers.
I don't agree with your premise at all. I think kids love superhero movies.
Yeah, they love superhero movies, but a lot of kids are bored because it's like I don't know. Kids don't, you know, it's hard for a kid to sit there for 2 hours. Kids are, you know, crazy and they're out of control. So it's hard for a kid to sit there for 2 hours. And if nothing exciting is going on, they're probably checking out until the next big thing happens.
Well, you think kids went to see this and were bored?
Probably.
Until the fighting started, maybe?
Until the fighting starts, yeah, probably.
Right.
I mean, probably a kid
could be.
You know, I think a kid would even be bored during the Krypton sequence in the beginning because it's really super Shakespearean and dramatic, and yeah.
It's Dune. It's super Frank Herbert for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I I mean, that might be, this movie may have worked. I don't know. I haven't talked to any kids about it. I do think that still this character is a character. I'm not ashamed to say he should be always about inspiring kids, because I started with him as a kid. I don't know if you did.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the people I know that really love Superman started out as a kid. And like I said, I never have a problem with doing an authority-type story or something, even with Superman, even if you're going to call him that, in another format. But in movies, I think there's a certain responsibility that they have to represent the character well and make him laudable, and because, you know, kids will go see it. You know, there are a lot of adults that will bring their kids a Superman, and that's all they think, and they'll bring them. They may or may not be bored, but there are a lot of adults who are going to bring their kids to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, now, ones who don't know much, for example, I was at the comic shop last week, and I was talking to a guy I know there. He has a kid could be like five or something. Kid had a Captain America shirt. He had two toys from Man of Steel. We had Superman and Zod.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy really knows comics. I've gone a long time. And I was like, man, you brought your kid to see? He said, hell no. I would bring him to see that. He didn't even he didn't hate the movie as much as I did, but he didn't like it. He had problems. But he said, hell no. He just got the toys because he loves Superman, but I couldn't bring him. I mean, I saw it first because I wasn't, you know, because I heard, you know. He knew it was Nolan. He knew it was Snyder. So he was like, all right. But you and I both know not too many people. Only a geek would know that stuff for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Blow's going to go, well, I wish Brian Kent see that new Superman movie. And they're going to talk like that, and you and I are going to kill him. But no.
Yes.
But you got to admit, a lot of parents are going to say it's Superman, we're bringing the kiddies. Maybe not 2-year-olds, but they're going to bring, you know, 8- and 9-year-olds. You know? So, whether they're going to be bored or not, maybe, but I think that people are going to bring kids. Don't you think? I mean, unless someone says, hey, look, you better not bring the kids to see that. That stuff is, well, I don't know. But what you say is very valid in the sense that they will probably, like Flash said in the chat room, they only watch the action. For me, of that movie, I love the action scenes, but I kind of love the interaction of the superheroes because they all act like they're supposed to. But other than that, it doesn't have much of a story, but it's like the end chapter of a 12-issue thingy, so or like serial, but that is another problem. People won't sit still for a movie, but that's nothing to do with Superman or the Avengers. That's to do with the short attention span, instant gratification crowd that can't keep their butt in the seat unless something's fucking blowing up.
Well, I mean...
And you're not like that. I'm not, but man, a lot of young people are.
Mm-hmm.
So you think a lot of kids, for Amazing Spider-Man, you liked it, I didn't. It takes a long time before he ever puts that costume on. Do you think that...
It's about an hour. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that's like I was saying, you know, and Flash will say this, you know, my aunt, her son was bored because it's like, I mean, you know, she was like, I thought it was awesome. He's like, but he's like sitting there waiting for Spider-Man to show up. So I don't think kids necessarily identify with, oh, this is a superhero movie. This is a Spider-Man movie. Or this is, you know, I want to go see how... I don't think kids go in with the same notions that we do, which is, boy, I hope they get Superman's character right, or boy, I hope they get Batman, you know, correctly, or boy, I hope they don't screw up, you know, Spider-Man or whatever. I don't think kids care about that. That's not on their mind when they go in. They say to themselves, I want to go see Spider-Man do cool stuff. And if Spider-Man's not on the screen, they're not in.
Right. Now, I'm an 8-year-old in the sense that a lot of these movies are like, man, if you tally up the time you see, whether it's Iron Man or whoever, not so much with Avengers. In this one, you see a lot of him later, you know, in the costume, in, you know, the Cavill in the costume. But, and I'll give Snyder that, at least he built up to that point, and then he put the big, you know, you put him there doing stuff in the costume. It's true. I liked the first Iron Man movie. I don't know if you did. But he's not Iron Man much in that thing.
Not much.
And I don't think... I have kind of a problem with that anyway, because I'm like, wait a minute. Did anyone go to the theater to see a movie called Tony Stark?
No.
Did you ever go see Peter Parker? Did you see that movie,
nope.
Peter Parker?
Nope.
You don't go see Clark Kent. I mean,
nope.
You don't go see Bruce Wayne. But they dominate the screen every time. And
I don't know. It's
weird.
I think it's a lot of it is about this. Excuse me. It's this need to. Now, I like a lot of these movies, but it's a need to complicate things too much, which is people, you know, which is the notion of a director who says, I don't think people will get into it if they can't resonate with the alter ego. And I don't think that's true. I don't think you're giving your audience enough credit, first of all.
I agree.
Because an audience, I mean, like, look at it this way. Say there's a Batman movie coming out. Forget that there's a previous Batman movie. This is the first Batman movie ever coming out. And
right.
Batman shows up in the first 5 minutes, which I guess he does in that first stupid
he
Tim Burton movie.
He did in 1989, right.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
Batman shows up. After that, Batman is gone for like 35, 40, almost an hour before he shows up, I think.
I think it might not be an hour, because remember Access Chemicals. Remember, that was relatively quick, but after that, you're right. I mean, there's a big gap.
It's really a long time before you see him again. And it's like, you know, yeah, I love Bruce Wayne and all, and yeah, I don't want to see Batman for 2 hours. But dude, like, come on. You know, I didn't come into this place and say one for Bruce Wayne, please.
No. You're there to see Batman.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Groundhog Day, and I don't mean the movie, it means like you're waiting for the groundhog to stick his head up.
Yeah.
You're waiting to get a. You're there, like, man. I want to see Batman. I want to see Iron Man, Spider Man, Superman, whoever. And then you're like, wow, that was. And now Snyder. I have no. That's the only thing I don't have a problem with. I hate the movie with the biggest passion I've ever had in my life. But as far as him delivering the goods in terms of it was a long buildup. But I mean, him, you know, having you get to see what you went there to see, whether you like it or not. You got to see, you know, him fight and stuff like that, which was a good idea. That's what a superhero movie, Avengers, Superman, whatever, that's what it should be. Yeah, and I don't understand the mentality of those. You know, Batman Animated Series, such a great show.
Yes.
You'll see Bruce Wayne once in a while. I know it's a cartoon, so we shouldn't compare. I don't care. I'm comparing. Because
I think it's fair to compare.
That cartoon were something like 10 to 15% of Batman, and all the time is Bruce Wayne this, Bruce saying that. Just think that's not going to work for me. Or who else would it work for? And now that we've seen so many movies, whether you liked the movie or not, because I've liked some, you've liked a lot more than I have. Now that you see so many movies, all of them are like they're always light on the superhero, and they're all about the alter ego for whatever reasons. These people, I got to tell you, dude, that's part of the reason why I loved Avengers, and even though there were even scenes when they didn't have that. I would like to see, at least, and if they made Superman act like Superman in this thing, I'd like to see one, you talk about you didn't want to see Batman for 2 hours, maybe not 2 hours, but I would like to see one where most of it's Batman-centric, or Superman-centric, or Avengers, or whomever, you know, Iron Man. I want to see, deliver the goods, and now you can do it. There may have been a time when it was, budget reasons was a concern, as you probably know. Now, I'd like to see Spider-Man more. I don't know why we have to wait. And now you went back and rebooted him in the next one. There will be no excuse to have to wait an hour and a half to see him spiding around again. But they'll probably do that again. Because you know it's going to be Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. It's going to be just like the last one. And I don't understand the mentality. And they make money. Look, if they didn't make money, maybe they would stop doing that. You saw Iron Man 3?
No, I didn't. But I saw the numbers it pulled in.
Yeah, it did well.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot in some ways when I first saw it, and I have a lot of issues about it later. But, man, I don't know. It should be called Iron Man -3 in terms of how much you see. And he's good, you know. I mean, and I think they thought, look, he's Robert Downey Jr. Everyone loves him. Fine.
See, you know, the thing with Iron Man, those Iron Man movies, I don't think that people go see them because they love Iron Man. I think people go see them because they love Robert Downey Jr. I don't think.
It's probably
to be honest.
Not me, but it's probably true. You're right.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll give him credit. I mean, who knew? Who in the hell knew who Iron Man was outside of Geeks in 2008?
Nobody.
So that movie had to earn it in the sense that it's called Iron Man. Big deal. you and I might go, I don't know if you did, I think you did. I mean, I know I did. I'm like, Iron Man, an Iron Man movie? Yeah, I mean, I love Iron Man, but who's going to know about that? I was like, did you go?
I was pumped, and I was like, cool, man. Yeah, Iron Man, make an Iron Man movie. I mean, I didn't really like it all that well, but it was like, hey, cool.
Right. I liked it a good bit in some ways, but yeah. And there you go. You're like, well, that's okay. Finally, someone other than, you know, all the standards was getting some. But it did well because word of mouth. The movie had to earn it. People had to tell people, man, that, and of course it was, you're right, Downey Jr.
Yeah.
It did well because people were like, well, you ought to go see this thing. It's really good. And again, I had some issues with it, but I liked the way they did the origin. But the point being, you don't get a lot of Iron Man, but compared to the third one, wow.
I hear that so much from people. They're like, you know, I have a lot of friends.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends who love the first two Iron Man movies. I don't know how you could like the second one, but anyway, they like those first two, and then they come out of the third, and I'm like, how was Iron Man 3? Like, it was horrible. And I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, I just, man, the third one, when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, it was kind of okay if you don't mind not seeing Iron Man much and don't really have an interesting villain. And you know what they did to the Mandarin, we're not spoiling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a fake. And I'm going, you know what? I hate to get all fanboy on you, but let's see. The Red Skull in the Marvel movies, the Red Skull's real.
Yep.
Loki's real, quote-unquote real.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they even, you saw the Incredible Hulk at the end there, they had a guy set up that's supposed to be the leader, the Hulk's enemy in the next one. Or, I mean, Hulk's enemy in the comics. But the Mandarin's fake. Why?
I always hear about that, and I'm like, that's strange. It seems to me like a, because there's been a lot of that recently. I've noticed a weird trend in a lot of comics. It started with Batman Begins, where they're like, how about we make the villain, the villain that's been fighting the hero for, like, the past 2 hours, how about he's not who we think he is?
Right, not who it seems.
Yeah, it's weird. It started with Batman Begins. It's happened a lot in a lot of these superhero movies I've noticed. It's very strange. I'm like, why do you guys keep ripping each other off?
I don't understand it. I don't understand why. Yeah, you're right. Well, did you ever see Kiss Kiss Bang Bang that Shane Black wrote and directed?
Yeah.
I never actually saw it. A friend of mine who likes it a lot said he just did that with Iron Man, the same thing. And it is, really.
Yeah.
Plus, he didn't have a compelling villain. I think that's kind of a thing. You need to have a good villain. I mean, villains are important to superheroes.
You do, and they are. But unfortunately, Iron Man has probably one of the worst collection of villains ever. I mean,
yeah, that's why the Mandarin is kind of important, because he don't have a lot of great ones.
I mean, you got the Mandarin, who's pretty cool, I guess. Other than that, it's like, who else has he got? Well, that's it.
Well, they ruined the best one in the second
movie. It's so bad with Iron Man that you have to have him fight himself sometimes. Well, how about an armor? You know?
Well, you know what, dude? They ruined the best one, one of the best ones he has in the second movie. Because they had Mickey Rourke, who was so horrible and incomprehensible.
Oh, yeah.
Playing his name in the movie's namesake of the Crimson Dynamo, which makes sense. That's a formidable Iron Man villain.
Yeah.
But they had him but he's Whiplash. Why?
But he's Whiplash. Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
And he's awful. Oh. But you're right. He's not one of your heroes with a great rogues gallery.
I mean, you know, a lot of heroes, you're like, wow, he's got great villains. Like, Batman's got awesome villains. You know, like, Spider-Man's got great villains. But, like, Iron Man has, like, the worst.
Yeah, he has. If you think, all right, list Iron Man-centric villains. Villains who are totally Iron Man, because he fights other ones. But you're like, well, Mandarin, okay, who else? Well, comes to Dynamo, okay, who else? Whiplash is ridiculous. Hawkeye did fight him. Yes, you know, JXS actually, too, he did fight.
Yep.
The Unicorn, I don't know, the Unicorn was kind of, I mean, really? Think Grey Gargoyle. And then you have guys like Living Laser. You're right. Iron Monger was kind of okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the first one. So you're right. That kind of puts you in trouble a little bit. So the Mandarin, you're going to do that with the Mandarin? I don't get that. But I don't know. I mean, again, because Red's, you know, Cap had his villain. Thor had his villain.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk even got his.
Yeah.
But Iron Man got robbed.
He got like this. I think Iron Man totally gets the shaft with villains, because it's like, at least Captain America has that one villain. Cap's got a pretty terrible rogues gallery. But he's at least got that one villain that sort of eclipses all of them. You're like, okay, Red Skull's so great, you can kind of forgive that he has a bad rogues gallery.
He's got him. Almost, he does have Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
And after that, right.
After that, it's like...
MODOK. I like Zemo a lot. Zemo's the one
that like
sent him in the...
honestly.
MODOK kind of is... He's Cap and he's Iron Man, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's, a lot of, when you think about a lot of these villains, I know this is kind of off topic of the movie, but a lot of these heroes, don't have, do you think Superman has a great rogues gallery? Because after you get past Luthor and Brainiac, Parasite, there are a couple.
I hear people talk about Superman all the time, and they're like, he's got a bad rogues gallery. I don't think that's true at all.
I don't think it's bad.
I mean, he's got, Luthor's awesome. We all love Luthor, I think. Brainiac, I love Brainiac. Parasite's awesome. I love Metallo. I think Metallo's great.
Right.
I love anytime Superman fights Mongol because it's always going to be fun.
Yeah.
I always like
and
Superman.
And there you go. He's got a pretty good rogues gallery. I mean,
yeah.
He has some. They all have dumb ones. Batman has some dumb ones, but
yeah.
You're right. I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty good. He has
it's all
in
how
he
executes
thought villains. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. You know. He has, Mixture Spin looks silly, but it was from a certain era.
Yeah.
Alan Moore, of course. I don't know if Alan Moore did.
Oh,
but,
boy.
Toyman and Prankster.
Yeah, Toyman. I like Toyman, too.
You know, as much as I didn't like almost anything Johns did on that last time he wrote Superman a few years ago, did you see the one where he dealt with all the different Toymans?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, So, and he's a pretty dope guy. He even has a friggin' one from the Super Friends.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But you're right. Rogues Gallery is tough. So if you're going to make a movie, and I heard what you said about Zod. Zod was, this is another thing. Zod, okay, I guess they used him because he was big in those movies in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Because he was never much of anything, really.
Well, the thing about Zod is, like, I like Zod okay enough, but... The thing with Zod to me, it's like the idea of Zod is so much better than Zod himself, right? The idea that Zod is in the Phantom Zone and can escape at any time, that's so much better than him actually escaping. It's better that Superman has that threat instead of the threat coming for him.
It's okay for him to come out once or twice, but back in there.
But
right.
Otherwise, it's just... Otherwise, Zod is just better if he's just that looming disaster waiting to happen.
Yep. I agree. You know, see, the animated series, for me, I did not like that version of Brainiac because I didn't want him to be a Kryptonian computer. I don't know why they had to do that, but I do like him. In Superman Unbound, which I didn't care much for, I don't know if you liked it.
I couldn't make it through the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, oh, really? Well, I did, unfortunately.
Oh.
And I don't know what you think of that Brainiac, but that was what I call Hulkiac.
That's
the
one
Hulk,
from...
And he's...
Oh, I always thought it looked like if Tim Burton did Brainiac.
Yeah, because he's the Hulk. He fights Superman physically. He's like,
right.
He looks like he's built like the Hulk. I'm like, he's supposed to be a... You guys don't get it. And it was partially John's fault.
Yeah.
Superman doesn't plug it out with Brainiac.
No.
But he did in this. I'm like, really, dudes? Why? That doesn't make any sense to me because, I don't know. What do I know? I just don't think he should be the Hulk. Everyone got mad at me for saying he's... He's supposed to be an intellectual character.
Yeah. Why do you think he's called Brainiac?
Yeah, he's Hulkiac.
Oh, that's a weird one.
Yeah, it was weird, but I didn't like that too much either.
And
Lois is even more annoying than usual in that.
Oh,
one.
She's so shrill in that movie.
Oh,
I'm like,
awful.
God.
Oh. By the way, speaking, and like I say, you have anything more you have to say on the movie is fine. Because like I say, I've destroyed it to death. I hate it so much. There's not any point in me getting worked up. So if everyone was looking for a big argument from Matt and I, you don't get it. Matt's my friend anyway, and you're not going to get a big argument from us because this is the kind of thing you can't really argue much about. You either accept that version of the character or you don't. So sometimes on something that's subjective, an argument doesn't work. I mean, a discussion is what I like because an argument's like, it sucked. No, it didn't. It was awesome. Well, okay, to one guy it sucked, to one guy it was awesome. I just
somebody won and somebody won.
Character.
Yeah,
I lost big time. I lost big time. The good thing is I wasn't expecting it to be, I know I prejudged it, but I didn't expect, I knew what to expect with those guys. I was just, I got to admit, I read spoiler. You said you didn't spoilerize before you went, did you?
No.
I did. Hey, TG, good to see you, Trekkie Gal. Clobber Time is best pal, Trekkie Gal. If I had not, boy, I didn't want to be there because I read this book. If I had not known about what, you know, the whole Paul Kent,
right.
Him letting Paul Kent turn into a mutate into a Twister, I would have walked out. If I'd non-spoiler, I might have said I can't take it. That man, he never acts like Superman in this movie. But it's one thing to not act. He don't really act like him in Superman Returns. He just doesn't really do anything particularly outrageous. He's just silly. He's a stalker.
He doesn't really
kind of
do anything,
strange.
Period, in Superman Returns.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure Superman would leave for 5 years. You know, if you're going to have him gone for 5 years, have a good reason.
And it was a stupid reason, too. But, you know, which, by the way, I hate that. They're like, people are like, well, how come Superman left? Because you never explained that. Well, he was looking for Krypton.
He's looking,
and
why was he looking?
Because
Krypton?
I hate that because they're like, he's looking for Krypton. Well, why would he look for Krypton? Because Lex Luthor leaked secrets.
Blew up?
Yeah, Lex Luthor leaked secrets to the press, the Krypton. He made it up. And I'm like, well, first of all, he should never believe that because he knows it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not in the movie.
It's really bad.
You know, they tell me, well, it's in the comic book. It's in the tie-in comic book.
The bastard kids. All of it was strange, man. I didn't like Spacey. I mean, I liked him as an actor. I thought he was dull.
You know, I think if Spacey has a better script, he'd be a great Luthor, but...
Well, yeah, he's a great actor, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, when I first saw it, I was kind of like, maybe I didn't hate it. Now I just see it more, and I'm like, I don't hate it, I just don't... It don't make me care about anything. I was like, really? I don't even have nothing against Brandon Ralph, there you go. Nothing against him either. I thought everybody else was dull. And you blame Singer.
You have to blame Singer. You have to blame Daugherty and Harris. And it's just like, it's like this really bad, it's just a bad idea. I mean, it's just a bad idea. Everything in it is just a bad idea. There's like no idea in it is good except for the casting of Brandon Ralph and Kevin Spacey. Otherwise, it's like this. It's a disaster. It's like, what is going on with
it? Now, I have a question about, did you see something, I guess, in the Geek Press, for lack of a better term, or more fun term? I don't know if it's Snyder or Nolan, backpedaling on the whole Jenny Olsen thing. No, it's not Jenny Olsen. It's just some girl named Jenny. That came out. Yeah, well, they're saying something. People are making fun of it. What, you know, the gender swap thing.
Yeah.
And it's on the IMDb. It says Jenny Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been saying it for, Jenny Olsen's a girl. Well, now someone of them came and said, no, it's just a girl named Jenny. You know, why do you care at this point? People make fun of that. They're making fun of all kind of other shit too. What do you?
Hear that. But also, it was also in one of the magazine spreads, whichever one it was. It said whoever that girl's name is, I can't remember, as Jenny Olsen.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's more curious than me? You know what's weirder than me than that?
Yeah.
Steve Lombard. Wow, you can't even cast a dumb jock jerk, right? Really? That guy was Steve Lombard?
Yeah, the
yeah, that guy, really?
Bald guy.
And it's like the trucker, the guy who poured the beer on his head, so he decided I'll destroy a truck even though I'm trying, you know.
Uh-huh.
First of all, wow, there's an overreaction. A guy punches you in the face, so you shoot him with a machine gun 50 times and then go kill everybody in his family. A little bit of an overreaction, right? You wrap your truck, you're trying to keep a low profile. I thought that was stupid, but that guy looked about as intimidating as the girl that he was, the lady that he was, you know, harassing could have whipped his ass. I'm like, you know, I hated the scene in Superman 2 where the bully crap.
Oh,
thing,
I hate
you know,
that. Yeah.
When he went back and did it, I don't know why Donner didn't cut that out of the Donner cut. I don't understand that. Superman wouldn't go back and do something petty. He might pull a prank on the guy, but not that way. Not dumb, like pick the guy up with your bare hand and throw him when you have a secret identity.
I think an inexperienced Superman would, but maybe Superman...
Not that one.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
but that one wasn't
experience.
Inexperienced. This one was, but...
Right. But he... So, yeah, he... I don't know. I think that was over, but at least make cast him to look like a big old tough, intimidating. This guy, like, really? That guy wouldn't scare me. If he poured beer on my head, I'd probably laugh.
I said he should have been Bibbo.
Like,
that's what I was saying coming out. He should have been Bibbo. I thought that guy should have been Bibbo. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hey, look, you got something to do, man? No, come over here. I want you to pour beer on Superman's head. You'll do. What do you like working in the back on the camera thing? Yeah, come on, kid. Come on over here. You look intimidating to me. Because to Snyder, who doesn't? Like,
I think
yeah,
you kick my ass.
Ass, pal. Yeah. I mean, Snyder's just, yeah, he's, I don't know.
You know,
well,
he actually,
know.
He actually mm-hmm. does that on, he actually did that on, in Smallville, too, in the pilot.
What?
Yeah, because he had been, like, tortured by these jocks, Whitney Fordman and all these guys, like, for the whole pilot, basically. And at the end, when he's outside of the school dance, he piles all their trucks on top of each other. So I don't know if that was an influence or not. Probably was.
Yeah. Well, he was and he was a lot younger there, and tortured and really, really treated bad is a little bit mm-hmm. different from a little Wayne born, you know. Yeah, I just thought
I mean,
he never acted like man.
Hmm? I mean, in Smallville, he was strung up on a... on a cross, basically, you know, with
well,
death
yeah.
painted on it. So, yeah.
And he still didn't slaughter him. He did something, maybe he did something, you know, and Superman, I never think Superman shouldn't make mistakes or cross mm-hmm. lines. I'm just like, at a certain point, you go, look, don't tell me you're trying to hide when you wrap a freaking truck. I'm like, I don't understand it, dude. What do you like?
Yeah,
but
nobody was
seeing
him do that. I mean.
I know, but he saw him walking off. I mean, who did it? You know, the Easter Bunny. I mean, I just like no. I would look at Nolan if I'm there. There's certain things I do this with movies a lot just for the fun of it because I used to want to make movies. You know, when it comes to movies and things, I when someone does something inexplicable, like I'm like on the set going, really, you're gonna have him do that to the truck? But isn't he not supposed to be? I mean, why would Superman do that? I mean, the guy's livelihood. It's like $1,000s worth of truck. Guy's a jerk. You could why don't you just have him do something funny to him? And leave because he's first of all he's above silly shit like that, but you could all I mean definitely the guy needs to be dealt with. But it's just like if a guy's destroying the city, yeah, you know you fight him. If a guy fucking pours beer on your head, are you that immature? You know, again, it's like he slapped me. I'm gonna shoot him with a machine gun 50 times instead
super
of hitting dickery him back.
101.
It was super dickery. It was super dickery. I'm just having fun with it. I'm not even knock. I'm just like even if I thought it was the greatest movie ever made, I would knock that scene.
Yeah.
But I agree with that Starbucks, Jade, that the costume sucks. I think what happened there was when the Kryptonian ship actually they cut this out of the movie, you probably don't know this.
Mm.
Gladiator left Krypton, he had like a boom tube.
Yeah.
And he went to Earth and he found like a fetish store. And he said, "Oh, I think these Earth people really and they may be primitive, but they really know clothes," and he put this suit on and he went back to Krypton. And
uh-huh.
later that's what you know, so that's what that costume's from. And the S stands for sex.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that.
No, I didn't know that. That's,
yeah,
inky.
It doesn't really stand for hope. It's sex.
Sex, so. Really?
Yeah,
but
you didn't
enlightened,
know that? That was actually
No, you've enlightened mm-hmm. me. Well, it wasn't in the movie, so it didn't happen.
It's going to be in the director's cut, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, or maybe my director's cut when I
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, again, look, man. If you have more to say about it, please do. I you know, because I really respect your opinion and Flash's opinion. Even though I'm definitely, you don't know this, I'm not a couple of blocks from your house, and I'm
oh,
coming
okay.
over there. Really, really mean things to do. But if you're nice to me, I'll only do them to Flash. So it won't cost you much. A couple bucks, and I'll just do bad things to him.
He deserves it for sabotaging my Michael Rooker interview. So
true. I mean, how petty of him.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Superman wouldn't
that's
do
like
that.
Something Superman would do.
Yeah, that's something Henry Cavill would do. Sabotage people's friggin' interviews, man.
He sabotaged my interview.
Yeah. But you had of course, oh, by the way, I hate to tell you this.
Yeah.
You prejudged this movie.
Did I?
Yeah. You knew it was you were going to like it all the way. I think you prejudged it. Sorry, man. I just wanted to be able to tell something. I just wanted
you
to tell
you wanted to be on the other side.
Yeah, I just wanted to get someone else because people do that to me all the time. So
yeah,
I wanted to see what that felt like.
Feels good, doesn't it? Feels right.
It's illuminating. Yeah, so
yeah,
I love
it.
Yeah,
makes
but
feel good.
There you go, man. What was I going to ask you about? I was going to ask you something about Krypton. Let me see here. Do you what about what are the things? And again, you know me. Both basically, you're not one that really minds people changing things that much.
Yeah.
I'm one that you know that might have a little problem with that in some cases,
yeah.
And you know, in a lot of cases, let's face it. One of the things that changed that that's more puzzling to me than anything else that I wanted to see what you thought about.
Yeah.
Remember at the beginning of the movie where he's talking to the Dune, I mean, Kryptonian elders.
Yep.
And I recognize that one guy.
Oh, yeah.
And they took away the whole, you know, the whole, Jor-El, you're full of shit, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Krypton's not going to blow up, you dumbass. You're a wacko.
Out of your mind.
It made it like, yeah, in this one it was, well, everyone, I'm as Gladiator, I should know these things, and Krypton's about to explode. They said, yeah, man, that's a bummer.
That sucks, dude.
What do you think we should do about it? Well, I think we should just, I don't know, man, what do you want to do? I don't know. It was like, you know, it was like you never had that conversation. Where do you want to go eat tonight? I don't know where you
yeah.
want to go. Where do you want to go?
Doesn't
you
matter.
Pick. I'm not picking, you pick. It was like, so I know they did that consciously. I'm just messing around, but I'm like, so they took the whole, you know, reason, kind of part of the reason it blows up is because they weren't prepared because they didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
Now they believe him. I mean, unless I missed something, they were like, yeah, you're right, pal. That sucks, man. We're going to blow up. Awesome. It's going to look cool, though. Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think they
were.
Why
don't you go get your baby and send him to Earth? That'll be even cooler. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Make sure you put the codex with him or else it'll be trouble.
Yes, codex was a different. I think that's actually a Kryptonian brand of diapers, but go ahead.
Yes, it is. Yes. That was Gladiator's favorite.
Yes. Yes, they were soft, strong, and thoroughly absorbent. So you were saying?
I think they were just resigned to their fate at that point, you know? I don't think it was about, you know, oh, well, that sucks. I mean, I guess it was in a way, but I don't know if it was all about, oh, well, that sucks. It was more of just a, just being resigned to it. I think that happens with a lot of cultures, you know? That would happen with a lot of cultures, you know? Like, maybe when Rome fell, they were just like, oh, well. This is what we have brought. So I guess that's
could
it.
Be.
You know?
I guess it could
I think Krypton in this movie is more like Rome instead of, you know, you know these other civilizations. Yeah.
Krypton and Gamora.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And then, so, the whole free will thing, when he, let's see here. When he says, this is the first natural birth in a long, thousands of years, whatever it was. People. So on Krypton, people are genetically bred to do certain things in this thing.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Gladiator Jor-El believes that if he has a natural birth, if he's not genetically bred with any kind of programming.
Yep.
He wanted him to. That's true, Starbuck. He did ride a dragon, and we're all jealous.
Yep.
So the whole thing is he wanted him to have free will. So if he wanted him to have free will, didn't he have free will for wanting that? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Did the Gladiator have free will?
Yeah, yes. He was pretty free to me. He was kicking ass and running all over the place and fighting Zod. And
well, now you're just nitpicking.
Huh? Yeah,
well, now you're just nitpicking.
Well, that's what you do when you know. Well, you can't have any other fun with a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was pretty. I didn't look. By the way, I can't take credit for that. I saw someone else write that somewhere. I just thought it was amusing. And just to be look full disclosure and to be fair, there are movies I love beyond belief that I nitpicked the hell out of too. So.
Oh yeah.
Like you, in fact, I think you did one, but we won't go into it here. Since it's so horrible and despicable what you did to Toy Story. So.
I don't care.
It should be ashamed.
I don't care about ruining people's lives.
That's true. Me either. And Zack Snyder doesn't either. So, Henry Cavill, though, let's see here. Let's talk about Cavill. All right. I think, to be fair, if he played Superman, I would not have been opposed to his casting. Is that like a rave review of his performance to you?
It's glowing.
Yeah. The guy was brilliant. Well, okay, he wasn't. I mean... Seriously, you never blame the actors. I mean, even if they're bad, yeah, but he's not, you know, he's fine, he's okay. I mean, he's just, I don't know. He's not a Boy Scout, and I guess if you don't care if Superman's not a Boy Scout, maybe people are going to stop calling that now. Do you think?
They've broken the Boy Scout curse.
Right.
Which, you know, it was like I was saying the other day, I think it was, that, I mean, I love this version of Superman, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm really kind of disturbed and disheartened by a lot of people who don't like Superman because he's a good guy.
You know, that's been going on for a while.
But I'm like, you know, what the hell is wrong with this picture with this society that we hate good guys.
Well,
like, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, remember he got made fun. He was corny.
Yeah.
He was not cool. And yeah. As soon as he started doing things that they think is cool in this movie, that's kind of my thing about this. He's, you know, I think you're exactly right. A person, a normal person in the real world, even if they had those powers, there would be outcast elements to them, especially when their father's a conspiracy loon like what's-his-face, Paul Costner. But, and that didn't help at all, but they were the whole underlying theme of the movie is paranoia and fear and you know, and cynicism. I think maybe a real person would look like that, but think about Superman. People, you know, and I guess a lot of people don't understand it. It's not the superpowers that make him super. Yeah, they give him super abilities far beyond those of mortal men. But it's what he does with them, and this. It's. I think this was an example of Nolan and Snyder and Goyer projecting their own. In other words, they were kind of like sort of like John Byrne did in 1980s. They were like, they weren't. What would Superman do? They would be like, what would I do if I were Superman? To me, this was written from the standpoint of, if I were Superman or you were Superman, this is kind of how it would go. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's possible. But we're not. And in 2013, to me, it's even more important, the whole idea. Let's say it had the whole same movie, but it was written in a way that he really acted like Superman. During the fight, he was really concerned about all the people who were in trouble. Like, let's take the killing of Zod. We should deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he's inexperienced, which is a good argument. However, I mean, he didn't even try to take the battle away. Mark Waid was really upset about that. He didn't even try to take the battle away. He could have tried a couple times. And then every time I've ever seen Superman in a fight, experienced or not, when people are in danger, he's got a serious problem. He's not only fighting a guy trying to kick his ass, he's saving people. And
yep.
That puts him in jeopardy, but he does it. He says, look, I'm not looking out for number one. Even if it's going to get me beat up even more by Doomsday or Parasite or Zod, I'm worried about the collateral damage of people. And even Superman 2, corn job though it was, I have a lot of problems with Superman 2. I don't like it. My 1981, you should have saw him going nuts. But he was concerned about the people. He made a mistake. When he goes with macho bravado, hey, Zod, you want to step outside? He realizes, you know what? Because at that point, he's not inexperienced, but he's never fought super beings before.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? I just realized. I mean, they're going to trash this place. They're going to kill everybody. So he left, and then he used his brain and outsmarted him and beat him. So in this one, you never see him. Like the one guy with the helicopter, the military guy, he falls out. I don't know why he didn't just catch the helicopter, but he catches the guy. I'm like, that's great. Every other time he's throwing Kryptonians into tankers that are blowing up all over the place and getting knocked through shit and knocking in through shit. He never shows concern for any of those people, fighting for his life or not. Superman cares about everyone else. And then he's got Zod in the headlock, and Zod's about to torch these people with the heat vision. All of a sudden, it's sort of like selective morality. Like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Oh, don't do it in front of me, though. I don't want to see you kill this guy. Like, I don't give a shit if this guy got blown away, but I don't want to watch. Oh, well, I had to watch it? That's awful. He couldn't watch them be killed. It's not like he's a horrible person. But he's like, don't do it, don't do it. He's, you know, he's trying to stop him. And by the way, Superman's smart enough to find some other way to stop him. That was written purposely so they could kill Zod. That was not written. There was no. He could have written it any other way. They wanted him to kill Zod. They didn't say, look, he's going to have to kill Zod. They could have found a way. And I just thought it was selective morality. I thought, you know what? Superman cares about everyone, and he would have thrown himself in front of those beams before anyone else. And he'd have been flying around trying to save as many people as he can. He doesn't even save Jenny Olsen. And he's not a hero in the movie ever. He's like, he's the lesser of evil. He's not a bad person. He just wants to fight and survive because they're trying to, you know, and he wants to save the world, sure. He doesn't give a shit what happens. That's not like he doesn't give a shit. I'm saying that facetiously, but he doesn't show the kind of concern Superman ever does. He's self-absorbed. He's selfish a lot of times, except on the rig. He saved those guys. I don't know why he even bothers. Well, this is blowing up. Fuck this. He saved them. I'm like, cool. He saves the kid on the bus. He could have just got out of there easy. Of course, then people would have said, how Clark survive? But all these people didn't. So I just, for me, I don't like this take. It's poisoning. And we have a dark enough, sick enough society where you just made a great point. People think there's something wrong with being the good guy.
Yeah.
He's not the good guy here. He's the lesser of evils here. He's not a bad person. He's just a guy trying to get along and understand these powers and this loneliness. And along the way, he's going to fight these guys, first of all, because they're trying to kill him. I mean, they want to take him. He's defending himself, which is understandable. There's no heroic theme to the movie ever. And for me, when you take that out of Superman, Siegel and Shuster created this character for heroic, altruistic reasons. They were projecting, you know, what if my, you know, what Jerry Siegel, whose father was killed by a hold-up man, what if there was a guy who could, the bullets could bounce off of him? What if there was a guy who fought for the little guy and he was saying, he's one guy, but he could send up to hundreds, he's so powerful. What if it was a guy that cared about everyone no matter what, and he could fly and do all this stuff and would go out of his way to rescue people more than anything else than just have a fight? To me, you can't take that out of Superman. You can, and they did, but that's why I can't handle it. And again, in any other context, fine. In a movie, that's just me, man. And I mean that. I don't mean that to knock anybody who liked it. I was not surprised, but it breaks my heart. Not unlike Wade, who was surprised that it broke us. It breaks my heart that this has been. We live in a society that will, instead of aspiring to the high values and the light that Superman is, to drag him down into the gutter really, really disturbs me. So, that's where I'm coming from, man. The movie, I didn't think it was particularly well done either. But if they got him the character right, I'd probably be talking to you in a different way now, saying, I don't know, it's just another noisy Hollywood movie. There's no, it's all style over substance. But doing that to the character in front of the whole world. It's sort of like derobing him and just, you know, humiliating him in front of everyone and humiliating what he stands for. And you're exactly right. It's not cool to be the good guy anymore. That is disturbing. Well, Nolan and Goyer and Snyder exemplify that to me, what you just said about that. So that's why it really eats at me. And, of course, I yield the floor to you, sir.
Well, I think the killing at the end, if it wasn't those people, it was going to be somebody else. So there was that. I think it was a standstill. If it wasn't them, it was going to be somebody else.
Somebody else.
Well, there you go. And in that sense, I find the killing, and I'm going to trivialize it here, I find the killing plainly insignificant because it's going to be clearly something that's dealt with in the future. And I like the way Zach puts it, which is Superman has the moral code. Superman has the moral code of no killing. We don't, you know, no kill, no killing. How did he get it? Was he born with it, or did he develop it? In this case, he developed it from killing Zod. It destroyed him that he had to kill Zod.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
In the case of this movie, he did, and in the case of the movie, in the case of the continuation of these movies in Man of Steel 2, whether it comes out next year or in 2 years, it will be dealt with, and it'll be discussed at length. So in that sense, I consider the killing in this movie not insignificant. I mean, it's not insignificant in the moment. Obviously, it's significant to him. But in the scope of the movie, as I see it, it's irrelevant because it'll be dealt with later. That's something to talk about later. In Man of Steel 2. And even in, it can even continue into Justice League if they so desire.
Well, but now people are going to go, people in that context of that metropolis are going to be like, this dude was destroying shit. Good. I'm glad he broke his neck. I would too in that season.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly fine. But it was established. And since he didn't act like Superman that much anyway in the movie, I mean, that's why I don't understand Wade's reaction. He let Paul Kent die, so after that point, I mean, what does it even matter? He's not Superman anymore. So Wade, who loved, if you think I'm rabid about Superman, I don't know. Wade was totally down with that. He didn't mind the sentence. In other words, he didn't mind them bastardizing the character like that. And then all of a sudden, he's crying about the killing. But Mark, I don't understand. If you're not going to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, his reaction really was weird.
It's weird because if he'd object to the whole thing, he'd be like me, but he's do everything you want, but don't kill the guy. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He let his own Earth father die instead of saving him. He saved the kids on the bus.
Yep.
But he won't go save Paul Costner. Maybe I wouldn't save him either, but that's beside the point. Because he's a dummy in that movie. But you see what I'm saying? Whether you disagree with me or not on the whole take, you can see why he's being inconsistent. Because he was like, yeah, that was great. I really love what Goyer did there. Yeah, all the cynicism and all the, no one's going to trust you, son, and all this stuff. He's fine there. So why is he not fine with killing Zod? I don't get that. Do you?
No, because a historian, the historian that way it is, and you know he's a Superman fanatic.
Oh, yeah,
probably knows more about Superman than anybody else on the planet.
Than anybody I know of. Right.
Yeah, so Wade's a wizard with Superman. So even if he doesn't like it, even if he doesn't like the killing, he should at least know that this is something that's been dissected and discussed and analyzed countless times. So it shouldn't necessarily surprise him, but he should at least come to some sense of understanding it, I think.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, because I didn't know it was going to happen.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, were you like shocked or surprised like he was?
No.
Given what was going on in the movie, did you go, oh my God, or did you go, eh, figures? I mean, in other words, did you have any kind of reaction like he did?
I did have a reaction.
Whether you liked it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I personally thought it was, you know, cool, but I didn't have a reaction of, oh my God, now this movie is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Right.
Within the context, it makes total sense. Yeah.
Right, but so if you're him, I mean, in other words, that's not all I'm saying is I don't understand how you can be so inconsistent. You're either consistent or you're not. You're either like you, you're fine with it, or you're like, he's not even acting like Superman the whole time, and all of a sudden I'm going to get pissed because of the killing thing. What did you expect?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like, what is it? You know, don't pee on my foot and tell me it's raining. I mean, I don't know how you're surprised by that scene considering everything that happens. Whether you like it or not, I'm not even dealing with that. And for him, he knew it was, of course, you know, Nolan, actually, I'll give him, I mean, you, I remember you guys telling me we weren't really for it until then they changed his mind. He doesn't save Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins, but then at the end of Dark Knight, not only does he not kill the Joker, he rescues him.
Yes.
He tells Catwoman in Rises, no killing.
No killing.
And she even makes a crack about it later, remember?
Yep.
So he was like, you know, and of course Batman Mask of the Phantasm, my favorite, Jim Gordon says, the Batman does not kill, period.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't. That was, you know, and to me, Superman doesn't kill, and I've said this in depth, you know, James Bond kills, and then Kirk kills, and Paladin kills, and all kinds of, John McClane, no problem. And they're not. And by the way, they're not murdering. They're killing in self-defense of others. They're not cold-blooded killers. They're even Bond. Bond's cold-blooded, but, I mean, he's fighting, you know, he's fighting people who are doing bad things. Fine. Humans, you know, I personally like the standard where a superhero, maybe not all of them necessarily, where a superhero goes, you know what, especially the one as powerful as Superman, says, I'm going to set this line for myself. No one told me to, but I'm going to set this line for myself to where, because of this power, I'm not going to play God. I'm not going to, you know, did you ever read Peace on Earth by Wade and Alex Ross?
No.
It was really good. It's not much of a story about, you know, comic book type story. It's just about, it's kind of Watchmen in the sense that, you know, what if Superman existed? And there's some scenes in there where he's bringing these big old gigantic containers full of food to these starving countries, to these people starving in this country. And then they can't get the food because a bunch of this dictator of this country and his soldiers, they're taking it from him. And Superman wants to just mow them down. He hates them.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, because he said, you know, it's not a killing thing, but he's like, you know what? I can't do it. And that's me being a dictator. That's me taking matters into my own hands when my country, you know, doesn't authorize me to do it. I don't act on this, on the behest of the United States. I'm not a country. I'm one man. So he brought all that food to these people, and they didn't even get to him because of this dictator, this scumbag, who, you know, and he didn't interfere. Because Superman sets values and standards for him. At the end of this movie, not only after all the destruction, because I guess it had been a whole 20 seconds since we hadn't had a big explosion, he trashes his satellite. And I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, he killed Zod. You know, no one cares, and you know, they've killed his people, so no one on the in Metropolis gives a shit. Screw him. But then, for no reason, just to be a dick, you crash a satellite. You're not saying, you don't go to the president or something. Hey, look, let me have my space. I'll help. I want to help. You know, I want to learn. I want to use my powers to help people. He drops, said, look, fuckers, my way or the highway. Leave me alone, I'll help you. If you don't, what? I mean, I would be going, or if we don't, what? You're going to destroy more satellites? I don't know. That's so not Superman, not the one, not the Boy Scout, not the one I love. That was an example. Even if you're okay with a lot of the other stuff, I'm like, really? What point are you making other than you want Superman to be a badass? I don't understand the mentality there. No, actually, sadly, I do. And, Batman did. You know, by the way, did you know Captain Marvel killed?
Yes, he did.
In not just a comic. Did you ever see the Adventures of Captain Marvel movie serial?
Oh, yeah.
He threw it off a building. And then, I loved it. It was great. But he landed, threw a bunch of guys in front of a bunch of machine guns and then mowed them down with machine guns.
Yeah.
It was the 40s, you know. Everyone was a
All right.
That's good. But, you know, and again, so it was later that Batman, Superman, and others, that somehow some writer decided, you know what, since he's Superman, he's not going to cross that line. He's not a cop or a soldier. And I just, I don't care if a scumbag gets killed. Screw them. But then I'm not Superman. And I think if I was, I would set the bar high for myself and go, I want to hold up standards. I'm not judge, jury, and executioner like Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And again, that's just me. If he never acts like Superman, and if he did, and they did the killing scene, I would probably just have a problem with it. But I don't understand Wade. I don't get that reaction. If you're okay with everything else, I'd love to talk to him about it.
No, it was strange. I didn't quite follow his logic on it.
Right. Because he was fine until that point.
Yeah, I mean, here was a guy who was, like, all for, you know, everything, and, like, cool,
maybe
sweet.
Maybe
it
was birthright. Maybe because he was glad they were doing birthright.
yeah, probably.
But you know what? I respect you and Flash so much on it, because you're just basically, you know, you're saying you're fine with that interpretation, and you enjoyed it. And it's, it's so hard for me to accept it. But I have a belief that system that has always been called challenger beliefs, in the sense that no matter what you believe or how comfortable you are in it, I think you should listen. I mean, it could be the most diametrically opposed thing someone is saying. You should try to force yourself to hear it and try to believe it. Not necessarily force yourself to believe, but at least put yourself in the shoes of someone else saying it. And Flash and you, we are so right. We say, look, if you're okay with that interpretation, in fact, if you would like to see that, then no one can argue with you.
Yeah.
You know, and so I respect you on that and him, and I appreciate, you know, you guys got the guts to come on and talk about it. A lot of people won't. They're like, you're just going to hate on the movie. Well, I hate it. I can't help it. I'm a hater.
That's what happens.
Yeah. But any other movie except maybe Star Trek, I guess, this one, it means something to me because, man, I just think, I don't understand why we have to. You know what? I would love to talk. I never will. But I would love to talk to Snyder or Nolan or Goyer even or Henry Cavill one day. I'd like to talk and have a conversation with these guys and tell them all these things I just told you.
Yeah.
And not to change their minds. I would like to say, do you understand why I think Superman should be held to that standard? I would like to see if they're capable, because they don't care. And something like Henry Cavill seems like a nice guy. He's probably not a jerk. He might say, well, I see what you're saying, but, you know, that's just not what we did. I don't know. But I would really like to talk to them about that, because, I mean, it really bothers me, man. I know it shouldn't. No, it should, but not that much. That's why I'm having trouble with the review, man. It's really disturbing to sit there and write it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, it's a fucking movie, and we should just say, it's a movie, you don't like it, suck it. If you like it, fine. And I should do that. Maybe not on this one. I didn't like Amazing Spider-Boy that much, but it didn't make me mad. You know? I just thought it shouldn't be a Twilight version of Spider-Man. Oh, man. But the Stan Lee scene was really great.
Oh, the one in the library?
Ugh. Why was that longer than all the other friggin' Stan Lee cameos, by the way?
I don't know. Was it?
Serious. It's maybe it just seemed like it.
It's probably about the same as one in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I guess it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But like I said, any other, like, you know, because we've got a little, you know, running down to the wire here, any other things that we didn't cover on the movie that you'd like to touch on? Because I know I cut into your time there a lot there, and I apologize.
No. I think it was all sort of covered. I mean, if I had a thing that maybe I didn't care so much for, maybe it was that, I think Flash mentioned this last week, actually, about Lois not being as...
Yeah.
Completely fleshed out as she could have been. You know, but there's room for that in the sequel, so it's not really that big a deal. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like, I got an impression that, as you know, there's no Lois Clark stuff. I don't mean, and I'm not talking about the TV show. You know, there's no, as far as him being mild-mannered reporter, that kind of stuff, and Wade, you know, complained about that until the last scene. And it's almost like, you know, they seem like they were in a bit of a hurry in the sense that let's just get this thing going and then we'll do it at the end for some reason when she already knows everything about him. And certainly a different take.
I think it's that Nolan school of thought with these movies, which is take your time. You know, we're not in a hurry here. So Nolan likes to save those awesome, you know, iconic, make you happy moments until like the end so you get the most punch out of them. Like in Batman Begins with the Joker card at the end when he turns over the Joker card, everybody flipped out over that. They were like, holy
shit, that's awesome.
You know, so he saved the Joker, you know, because he's like, the Joker's a big deal, so it's got to be important. So, you know, let's just take our time and let the world build itself organically instead of, you know, putting it, you know, in by numbers, which is what a lot of superhero movies do, you know, paint by numbers superhero movies, which is what Nolan isn't into. So I think it's part of the logic behind saving the glasses for the end was that big reveal of the glasses. That's that Nolan school of thought, honestly.
Well, you know, another thing it is, you remember how we were talking, or I think we talked about earlier, how so many things in superhero movies are repetitive that they seem to do in every one of them? Another thing they do in every one of them is we'll try to think of one that didn't. Every time the superhero's identity is revealed to a woman, every time, they never keep it a secret, ever. You'll see comics go on for years. And it's fine to do it once in a while, but every freaking time, and that's fanboy, I grant you, but it's like, okay. And at some point, it's just like, dude, it's just, okay, we get it. These guys can't keep a secret.
Well,
and they can't.
I don't think I can think of one that doesn't do it.
Let's see. All right, there's got to be one. Holy crap, there ain't one. There's got to be one. Not one. Not even some of the ones I really like. I'm sure. Well, except for the first.
The first Superman.
The second one. Remember, one and two were filmed together.
Yeah.
And in two, she finds out. Technically speaking, they tried, remember? So even that, if you count it, she finds out. But of course, then he mind melts with her and she loses it.
Yeah.
But other than that. And then, of course, in Superman 4, he tells her again and then takes it away again. Ugh.
Oh, man.
But other than that, I'm trying to think, seriously, is there one?
I don't think there is.
Well, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, there is one. Spider-Man 1.
You kind of get the impression maybe she knows at the end. I mean, she doesn't say it, but you get the impression that she knows.
She didn't find out to the end of the studio, as far as she said. I kind of think I've always known, but then that's kind of Mary Jane anyway, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute, in Amazing Spider-Man, she found out, right?
Yeah, she found out, yeah.
Okay, I've forgotten. All right.
You told her.
Wow, man. So can we have one where this son of a bitch could not take a damn mask? And that's another thing. Masks never stay on.
Nope. Take that
mask
off.
You know how much I love Avengers? I go, why is Captain America in the fight with the Skrull takes his goddamn mask off? Why? The blow off of, remember that?
Yeah.
So that girl could see his face. It's the only reason.
Well,
you know, remember the scene in the bank Yeah. And his mask comes off. There was a scene shot earlier where he's at a restaurant. You know, when they did a lot of stuff where he's, you know, walking around the city that they cut out, you know, just to see Rogers. And he meets that woman.
Ashley Gotham.
Even Whedon couldn't help himself. He said, I want some woman to find out that he's Captain America. Why? There's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, dude, everyone does it. Why?
You know, it's the one part of the Avengers that I do like, that I wish would have been kept, is that scene. Because I thought it sounded really cool that she would be like, wow, you know, here's this guy who was really nice to me. It turns out he's a superhero. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. That's just that it's done so much now. I'm like, really? You just,
yeah.
You know, the mask came off for that reason.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a fan nitpick, huh?
Well, Flash and I joke about this all the time in Spider-Man 3, where Venom takes that pipe and hits him with it, and it tears his mask off. He's like, dude, that's ridiculous. So we always joke about that. Like, well, it was a sharp pipe that cut his mask and tore it off.
Yeah,
it's so ridiculous.
Oh, it is so stupid. Of course, Spider-Man 3 is so awful.
Oh, man.
There's not one, man. Not
there
one.
Is.
Except for, again, for a Spider-Man movie. We did find one. But we found one by accident.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, I don't understand why it seems like it's become a cliche with these movies.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it really isn't a big deal. I'm just talking, because you and I talk, you know what, and we talked about it once before, we chatted about it, how we would write a superhero movie, whether you like Man of Steel or not, whether you like Nolan or whatever, if you got control of one, you're Christopher Nolan powerful, because that's powerful. In other words,
yes,
Christopher Nolan right now can say, you know what, Booster Gold, I don't care what that Matt says, I'm doing a movie of him. DC said, sure, how much money do you need? Yeah, you can make money for us, right? Who's that, by the way? Just don't you worry. I know Booster Gold is. Thank you very much. You let me handle all the particulars, you Warner suits. I'm going to make you some money. Oh, well, yeah, you made some money before. He did that. If you had that power.
Yeah.
I would like to do a show where we talk about how you would do it. Not anyone else. You're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You're the mogul.
Yeah.
And just to hear... And I think that would be fun to talk about that.
That would be cool.
Even ones I like. Have you seen ones you like, even you're like, yeah, this is really cool, I like it a lot. But, man, I don't know. I think I would like to have seen this done that way. I don't know if you did that, do it all the time, and you know I do, but I don't know.
No, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be good show.
It's fun, because fans do it all the time, I guess. But, for example, we know if you want to think of something that, not quite like Superman in a sense, because it's going to really piss me off. I think you and I talked about it. The FF movie.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, welcome to Blood Pressure Go Through the Roof Theater.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be a fun show when that one comes out.
Oh.
I'm going to have...
I think we'll all have fun that day.
Wow, dude. Because you know how much I love them. It won't be the same. I mean, they won't... I don't know. Those other movies were bad. I think it's different. Man, it's different. My Superman thing's different, but... You know, it's not like they're going to not have hope anyway, but I don't know. Flashback wrote, or you have in the case of Smallville, where CW would not put the glasses on Tom Welling because they didn't want his face covered because female fans might not... Really?
Yeah. I mean, this... You know, because...
Yeah, you hear that story
all the time. Yeah. You hear that story all the time about how, they'd say, well, how about this year we put the glasses on him? You know, because he's basically Superman right now, so how about we put the glasses on him? That way we could get, you know, at least the glasses going. And CW always say, you can't do that. Well, why not?
Really?
Well, because Tom's too pretty. You can't cover him up.
I've heard girls like the dudes with glasses.
I'm like, yeah, you know, you don't have to put him in the geeky Christopher Reeve glasses. Put him in some cool glasses, okay? But,
well, yeah,
you know.
I mean, and they were scared. That shows how stupid suits are. I mean, I've heard girls, say they like,
I think girls like geeks with glasses. I don't know.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I mean, I've heard that. I mean, who knows? Huh?
Yeah, because anytime Tom would have those glasses on, they couldn't wait to get them off. You could tell that they were just waiting for a reason, and that scene's right. Clark takes the glasses off. It was like, we can't wait to get him out of these glasses. Get him out as fast as possible. It's ASAP.
Yeah. Right. Oh, man. I don't understand it. I don't get that kind of stuff. I mean, they did. I was surprised they put Cavill in the glasses for 2 seconds. Considering, but I guess it wasn't the same people in charge. Oh, well, what have we solved here tonight, ladies and gentlemen? We've solved that I am wrong and that Matt is right.
True.
And he's the guest, so I have to be that way. We signed that I'm full of shit and who's that?
I'm full of puppies and hugs.
Yes, you are. Oh, you know what, Matt? I think we have someone to talk to you. I think you have a guest.
Uh-oh.
Did you have something to say to Matthew?
Yeah, since I'm a guest, too, and I don't have to be polite to anybody, can I say that Matt is full of shit?
No, Matt will kick your ass.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that, but, you know.
I've seen him kick ass. It's not
I'll just
pretty
kick
sight.
The cane out from underneath him. He'll be all right.
Ooh.
Probably needs a new shoe every week. He's kicking so much ass.
He does.
It's true.
He does. That's true.
True.
Matt's not. Now, why would you want to be crude to our guest?
Anyway, I got the Adventures of Superman comic today that has, like, kind of the real Superman in it. The first story is not really Superman, but it is good after a couple of years to see him back in his old costume. And it's almost like they acknowledged that there is a market for the that has been for the character that nobody wants to see in a movie anymore or a comic book. None of the depictions of Superman in this book, and they're all it's an analogy, an anthology.
Anthology.
And
right.
They're doing what I refer to, and I know what you refer to, and what probably makes Matt cringe when people say classic Superman.
Matt is a cringer, I've noticed about him. Matt cringes a lot.
There are people who,
cringer.
I don't know, few and far between, who liked the classic Superman and were a little
Matt
bit put off.
Matt liked the classic Superman. Matt likes that one too, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he likes Hillbilly Jethro T-shirt, red towel Superman.
Hey, now. I like
he
all
does.
Superman. It doesn't matter to me.
Except
for that stupid movie.
Even Dean
he
Kane.
Likes
you like
he likes pink tutu Superman. Either.
Hey, look, man. As long as it's not the Donner movie, I like them all. You know, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. That sounded hurtful.
Matt, I am offended. Wait a minute, no, I can't get offended. Shit.
Work on it,
so,
man. Work on
no,
that.
No, I can't. Nobody can offend me. There is no such thing as offending
that's
the Claude.
No.
I can be insulted, but I can't be offended.
How would someone insult you? How would I do that?
I appreciate a
good
insult. I like something that has thought put into it and behind it. And every once in a while, I'll dole them out myself and invite them to come back to me. But offense, I don't
have
to do that anymore. It's clobbering time. I mean,
show.
We can clobber.
We don't think
you can
clobber
me with insults, but I don't get offended.
I
get my lack of intelligence insulted whenever something like that.
I got 1 minute. I want to tell everyone before the stream runs out. Thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. The great flashback, Trekkie Gal, love you, dear. Rare, the great RJ Gumby, Possum Hour fame, JX, XX Starbuck. Sorry, man, I can't pronounce things tonight. And, of course, the great Matt Fisher, who really hates Christopher Nolan or Snyder, Christopher Snyland and Zach Nolan or whatever. He's just making all this up, folks. He doesn't mean it at all. I was behind him in the theater, and he was pretty upset. Maybe it was somebody else. What were you?
You should have
Maybe
just
thought
pretty.
That was the Earth 2, Matt. That was wrong.
Yeah, Bizarro, the Earth 2 Matt hated it.
Yeah.
At least that's something.
The Earth 2 Matt. Did Green Lantern propose to you?
Well,
no, but he
matter. He might.
He took me out to dinner.
Yeah, Alan Scott.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan Scott. Yeah. He took you out to dinner but didn't propose. That's great, man.
What an ass.
But yeah, you know, look, what can you do? That comic you're talking about, I don't know, it's sort of Superman-y or not, or...
It's different takes. It's sort of like that Superman number 400 that had stories about Superman
right.
and how he affected people. There was one good, I mean, there was a good story about Superman where Lois and Clark, who apparently are not married in this story, are rushing to get the headline for the day. And Superman gets busy saving people's lives while Lois is actually writing the story about it, and Clark kind of loses the bet.
Wow.
But he did get to go around and save people.
And the loser of the bet.
Yeah, nobody broke anybody's anything in this book.
Hey, Matt, did you see the thing that Kyle Baker, you know, the artist, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
On his site, he did this, it looks sort of like an old video game. It's just a little game you can play, like with your mouse. It's kind of really primitive looking. It's got Superman and Zod in the city, and you can they're fighting, they're wrapped in combat, and you can move it around, have it destroy buildings and fall on people and shit. Holy shit.
Somebody did a 6-panel cartoon where Superman and Zod were like playing games at each other, and then it looked like Zod won every game, like chess and whatever. And Superman got pissed off and killed Zod because he kept winning all the board games. And the little Clark Kent asked the Kevin Costner, Jonathan Kent, so it's okay to kill a guy who beat you at chess and bingo and all this stuff? And the Jonathan Kent character says, maybe.
You know what I didn't pick up on, Matt? And then I saw that thing somebody put on the Clobber Time thing. It was the one where Zod said, in the movie now, the middle one made up. He said,
yeah.
This will only end one way, Clark. Cal, either I die or you do, or you die. And somebody wrote, let's see, he's the general of the entire planet Krypton, and you can't count the two. I didn't catch that in the movie, did you? He did say that. It only went in one way, either I die or you die. I guess it's just broad generalization of dying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
why is it that no Kryptonians suffer from nosebleed or allergies or anything like that? Whereas Superman could have shown up and he had like a deviated septum and he pops Zod the nose and he starts crying like a bitch and then flies back home to his mother or whatever.
That's in the next movie.
Yeah,
Zod's not really him. That's going to happen in the next movie.
If
right?
he popped him in the nose and his eyes turned red, and he started bleeding from his nose and held his head back and left screaming, I'm going to tell. Superman wouldn't have had to kill anybody.
Oh, Matt, now I know what I'm going to ask you. All right.
Yeah.
When they're terraforming Earth to turn it into Krypton's atmosphere, a lot of people said, well, why would you do that if it would take your powers away? My argument was, I hate the movie. Well, does that change the yellow sun giving them their powers? Or were they saying the yellow sun gives them the powers in the movie? It is the yellow sun still, right?
It is the yellow sun, yeah. Yeah, it is.
So I was saying, and I hate...
Can they be cryptoforming?
Yeah, cryptoforming. And they were changing it to Krypton's atmosphere. I'm going, well, so... I hate to defend the movie, but I'm saying, well, if they're saying in the movie, I don't know if they actually said it in the movie. They may have. I can't remember now. But the yellow sun is still what gives them the powers, right?
Yeah.
In the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I was being sure. I hate to defend it, but if it's accurate, then you know. And for the sake of accuracy, I just wondered about that point. So now, when someone says that to you, you could say, "Listen, Mr. Sparty Pants, it's the yellow sun. So suck that."
My friend Mike told me that this has happened.
Yeah, and he felt really shitty about having to.
And he
to
felt
point
really
it out.
Bad about it. And I kept telling him to repeat it so he could keep having to defend it.
Yes, that was one thing. I mean, unless they said somewhere that I don't remember. They get their power from a different atmosphere, but I don't know. But I don't know. I don't think so. It's the yellow sun.
Yeah, it was the yellow sun.
Yeah.
I thought they got their power from red colors.
What do you think about this Christ parallel stuff? I think Flash and I talked about it a little bit. Why would you market a movie like that? I mean, to, you know, they market, Warner was like marketing it to churches and stuff for that. You heard about that, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they've done it with another movie. I forgot what it was. But they said they were like, it was sort of a marketing campaign where and why are you trying? Because you just sell tickets to the general public. What are you doing this for? Like, the Christ parallel, they're trying to tell churches that they should bring their congregations because they didn't make enough money, I guess. Or something along those lines. They were marketing it to certain churches and preachers and stuff.
Well, we could always use more money.
Yeah,
because you don't remember that part?
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
Pope probably saw it.
I mean,
so you remember that passage in the Bible where it says, you know, love thy neighbor, turn the other cheek, and then break his fucking neck. So,
John, Ezekiel 84:69-6.
Yes. Thou shalt not slay thy Kryptonian brother unless he tries to burn someone with a...
Unless he's an asshole.
Unless
break
he's an asshole and cry at that.
Yeah, break his fucking neck was Paul Crew 3:16.
Love thy neighbor
Paul
unless
Crew.
He's an asshole.
Paul Crew. Yes, if he's a dickhead, you can kill him. That actually is in the Bible. A lot of people don't remember that part. Jesus said, love thy neighbor unless he's a prick. Then step on his face.
Love thy neighbor unless he's got a family cornered and is going to blast them with heat vision, then break their goddamn neck.
Yeah, I think, you know what, the whole, they get the Christ parallel thing, just because of that line where Gladiator on Krypton said he will be a god to them.
Yep.
He didn't even, you know, he'll be a god. Really? Well, so is Thor. So there.
Thor don't exist here.
Yeah. Thor's unrealistic.
Yeah, Thor's unrealistic. Get out of here.
Yeah, Superman.
I love
realism. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, realistic man. I think they screwed up when they said that the S stands for hope.
Stands for realistic. Should have
said it stands for realism.
Realism.
Captain,
I'm all about realism.
Yeah.
I love realism.
Realism.
I'll
yeah.
Call.
Oh, yeah. All right, man.
Realism.
Matt, you're a good sport, my friend. I really appreciate you hanging out with me tonight. I hope I let you say what you wanted to say. If there was anything else, of course. So, I mean,
I think we covered everything. I think we hit all the big stuff, at least.
We handled it.
And
no
I would like to
anywhere
apologize. I'd like to officially apologize to Matt Fisker for telling him that he's full of shit. I think he's only up to his ankles.
No, don't. It's true. Don't apologize for that. It's all true.
You think we had you on the show?
Then damn you.
Oh, man. No, Matt could take it. He's a Superman himself. But, yeah, man, look, I had a fantastic time talking, dude. I always do. I really appreciate you coming on here, buddy. And like I say, Flash, the one Flash and I did last week, did you join up with us a little bit? Man, that did more archive hits almost than I've ever had. It was so it was a good thing I didn't put Man of Rubber like I wanted to, right?
Oh, yeah?
On the keyboard.
Now you're thinking like an executive.
Yeah, man, I should work for Warner.
You should.
Yeah. Hey, Zach, what could you make movie? What makes some money on now? How about that bitch with the Star Spangled Tits? That'd be a good movie. Yes. Zach Snyder.
But make her realistic.
Christopher Nolan. Wonder Woman. And she'll be realistic because her tits would bounce.
Gotta be realistic.
People are gonna hear this and go, those guys are assholes. Look at that Matt guy's pretty nice, but that host is a dick. Superdick.com. I sure hope so anyway.
That Matt's he's handsome and charming and
he's right.
And he's always right about everything he ever says,
always
ever.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thank you both. Go out into the street and kill. Or maybe not.
Well, I enjoyed my cameo.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Later, bro.
Later,
bye-bye.
Man. See you. See you, Claude.
See you, man.